I'd like to begin with an anecdote. The Port Authority of New York and New Jersey ran a help wanted ad for electricians. For electricians with expertise at using Sontag connectors. I don't know if you've heard that before. We have some electricians here. Maybe you've heard of that. Sontag, it's capital S-O-N-T-A-G. Again, the Port Authority for New York and New Jersey ran a help wanted ad for electricians with expertise at using Sontag connectors. It got 170 responses, applications, even though there is no such thing as a Sontag connector. The authority ran the ad to find out how many applicants falsify resumes. We can laugh. There is, of course, a very serious tone to this commandment. We're reminded of it in Proverbs 25:18. A man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. To illustrate, one maul. Matthew Henry says, maul designed to crush a man's head. Bearing false witness is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. Three of the most deadly weapons in that age, designed to cause harm or death. The maul could crush a person. The sword, deadly in hand-to-hand combat. The arrow, deadly in distant fighting. Thou shalt not bear false witness. I'd like to begin the message with a series of questions. The first is this: what may all the following have in common? Belief in astrology, addiction to smoking, murmuring, obesity, messy room, arrogance, condescension, gossip, fear, hypocrisy. And of course, the helper verb there is may. What may all these things have in common? Answer: they all may break the ninth commandment. Belief in astrology is ascribing to planets and heavenly bodies the powers which only God has. This is a misrepresentation of the sovereignty of God. Addiction to smoking. The scriptures tell us that God can give power to break the bonds of sin. Murmuring is a contesting against the will of God when the Bible tells us that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love the Lord and those who are called according to his purpose. Obesity can be the same sort of problem as listed in number 2. A messy room is contrary to the design of God, who is a God of order. Arrogance takes away from the glory of God, for we should humble ourselves before him who deserves all praise. And the condescension is the other side of that truth. Gossip can be bearing false witness if we do not know for sure, nor have the right motive or have the right audience for what we share. Fear speaks against the ninth commandment, because we are told God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. And of course, hypocrisy is acting one thing and being another. That's certainly a breaking of the ninth commandment. I'm just saying there's a broad spread of applications here, friends. But we're going to start with an articulate definition. What is lying? Webster's Dictionary says the following. Webster calls it criminal falsehood. Lying is criminal falsehood. That is, an untruth uttered for the purpose of deception, an intentional violation of truth. a willful deceit. We shall see, though, that bearing false witness may involve less conscious evil intentions. There may or may not be conscious evil intentions. Some of the other possible explanations for false witnessing might be sloth in investigation. Somebody says something is the case, one is too lazy to search it out himself, and so repeats what else he heard. So it may not have been a nefarious intent, but just laziness that led him to give a false witness. It can be ignorance of proper stewardship. Some people are brought up not taught what is good stewardship of the information they receive. You don't just repeat what you hear. It may be the wrong audience. It may not be true. It may be harmful. It may not be helpful. Maybe just be ignorance of what you do with information once you receive it. Or maybe an ungracious thought life. We are going to see that this command, like other ones, starts in the heart. You think wrong about people, then you speak wrong about people, and then you do wrong about people. But it may not be malicious, conscious, evil intent. There are a lot of possibilities out there. Indeed, there is certainly this. Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. And so if you or I fail, do an inadequate job of giving witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to the power that the Lord has exercised through his resurrection and on to us as the church, we are breaking the ninth commandment. Thou shalt not give bear false witness. So, we're going to start with questions. How does a person bear false witness against his neighbor? By communicating in any manner an untrue account of someone's thoughts, words, deeds, character, or reputation. And note, in any manner, it doesn't have to be with words. It can be a roll of the eyes. It can be a gesture with the hands. It can be an expression of the face. It can be intonation. But communicating in any manner an untrue account. What else is included in the Tenth Commandment, in the Ninth Commandment? All lies, deceptions, and misrepresentations of any sort. What is the source of the sin of false witness? The devil. The devil is the father of all lies. Jesus says in John 8:44, the devil was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The father of lies. For example, in Acts chapter 5 and verse 3, Peter says to Ananias, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? When you and I bear false witness, Satan is filling our heart to lie. Number 4, how does the Bible characterize this sin? It's an abomination to God, and it's defiling to man. It's an abomination. Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. See, in our culture, we can put more severe or less severe spins on the various sins, and we may think, oh, little white lies, a little fib here, or advantageous lie there for this or that reason. Lying lips are an abomination, friends, to the Lord. And Jesus tells us about defilement in Matthew 15:18-19. He says, those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. Look at the companionship of false witness. These are the things which defile a man. Indeed, we read in Proverbs chapter 6, starting in verse 16, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, One of the things that's listed there is a false witness that speaketh lies. What is the punishment for bearing false witness? Well, for Israel, a false accuser was to receive the punishment for the crime with which he had charged another. Let's say one charges another with shoplifting in a store, but he didn't shoplift. The one who made the charge would receive whatever is the consequence of being a shoplifter, like carried off to jail. A false accuser was to receive the punishment for the crime with which he had charged another. Illustration, Deuteronomy chapter 19. We'll start reading in verse 16. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition, and behold, if the witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall you do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put the evil away from among you. What is the punishment? For all humanity, not just in the Jewish context, but for all humanity who bear the guilt of this sin, the punishment is exclusion from heaven. It's not possible that it would be our only sin. There are all sorts of sins which we commit. But if it were possible, and this were the one sin that we committed, bearing false witness, that would be enough to exclude us from heaven. So we read in Revelation 22:15, concerning the holy city, for without, that is outside the walls, are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. What is the purpose of Israel's punishment of this sin? Fear and lasting repentance from it. Deuteronomy 19, we'll start reading in verse 20. And those which remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. And thine eyes shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Well, can a person bear false witness unknowingly? Yes. Due to poor training, ungodly influences, a dulled conscience. A person may be less aware or concerned about subtle ways in which this sin can be committed. For example, a false witness can occur when words are reported accurately, but by wrong intonation, or neglect of a special setting or context, or exclusion of what was said before or after. False witness can occur by misinterpretation as much as by misrepresentation. You look at that stern look on the person's face and say, he's angry, or he's mean, or what's he got against us? And that may just be a misinterpretation of his face. Third, false witness can be committed by remaining silent, since silence can be interpreted to be a confirmation of the charges. Yes, you and I can give false witness when we don't say anything. Similarly, a person can be partner to the crime of false witness simply by being a willing listener. For example, Proverbs 17:4, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Now, I know that word naughty there sounds like a children's word, and it has kind of degenerated to that in today's English. But what's the root? Not. What does not mean but nothing? Emptiness. And so this is an empty tongue. Empty of anything good. Not. Isn't that what Jethro Bodine, you say, not, not? It stands for zero, stands for nothing. In the scriptures, we read, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. It goes on and say, and the things which are not to confound the things which are. Not, nothing. A liar can give an ear to a naughty tongue. When will the sin of false witnessing flourish? You know what the answer is for that? Could be now. It will be a mark of the great apostasy from God at the end of the world. There's so much lying, so much misrepresentation, so much bearing a false witness. You wonder, whom can you trust? Can you trust anybody? 1 Timothy chapter 4, we read, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now you Google it, lies, and you get all kinds of articles right away. Just out of curiosity, I did that this week. And here was one of the articles I found by Alfredo Ortiz. 7 biggest lies in Washington this week. First one, and this is coming from the government powers in power. Take-home pay has gone up. Does anybody believe that? Well, it might be true in some isolated cases, but inflation has risen more than what the amount of take-home pay has increased. Second lie, 12 million new jobs have been created by this administration. Ortiz goes on to explain, well, that's backfilling after COVID, but the truth is there are fewer jobs and very few new jobs created. Largest deficit reduction ever. I don't know if anybody believes that. Actually, we're at the largest deficit ever, somewhere around $2 trillion for this year alone. Number four, it was asserted 2 years ago our economy was reeling. Actually, it was expanding. It's expanding at the rate of 11% a year. Number five, oil companies invest too little. Actually, see green energy policies if they haven't affected fossil fuel production. Number six, United States exports are good. You look at the information, Ortiz says, you find we're at the worst trade deficit in the modern era. Over a trillion dollars of deficit in our trade. Number seven, the wealthy don't pay their share. And finally, Ortiz notes, actually the top 1% of income earners pay some 50% of all income taxes. I'm not sharing this to be political, but just giving the impression that lying is all about us, and if anything is anticipated in our leadership in this age. Well, what is to be a Christian's attitude towards false witness? The Lord would have us to hate false witnessing, and we should want to be removed far from it. We should not take up, we should not entertain, we should not spread lies, even if a multitude does. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Proverbs 30 and verse 8. You may notice in your bulletin we have some quotations from Charles Spurgeon, who notes that if people say they are saved and they are still habitual liars, on and on, this may be an indication they're not truly saved. Because a person who has the Spirit of God in him is being transformed in his perspective on truth versus error and the importance of being honest. We read in Exodus chapter 23, thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thy hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. Do not raise a false report. Well, positively stated, what should we do? We must think right. We must think right about our neighbors and our God so that we might speak right about them and act right toward them. We should regard their character and honor as precious to us as our own. For example, consider how to honor the Ninth Commandment if the following happens. I blow my father's inheritance. Imagine if that were your case, the farmland had been in your family for generations, and through whatever causes, you lose it all. Your mind might quickly start generating excuses, mitigating factors, other observations. Or let's imagine that I lose my family, I lose my wealth, I lose my health. I may be inclined to give rationalizations and explanations and pity parties and blame others. Let's take those two up. They're both biblical, obviously. I blow my father's inheritance. Prodigal son, Luke chapter 15. The son said unto him, his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. He's being truthful, straightforward, honest. He's not at a point of getting any more excuses, bearing any kind of false witness. As for losing family, wealth, and health, here's another good illustration, Job. Job said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Well, we have a final question. Why teach all this? Kind of laborious, a little negative. Is there value in teaching these Ten Commandments? Is there value in teaching this ninth commandment, Thou shalt not bear false witness? Why teach all this? How's this answer? So we get enough right to pass the test. Yes, I'll admit I have lied in the past. Now I see how important it is not to lie. I'll stop lying. I'll improve my way. All this was against me, all these lies I've committed. And what I'm going to do is tell the truth, tell the truth, tell the truth, and balance it out. Who knows when I appear before Peter at heaven's gates and he asks, why should I let you in? I could say, well, I learned and I spoke truth. Is that why we teach this? Come now. Is that why we teach this? No. We do not teach any of the Ten Commandments so that people can learn to do good so they can earn their way into heaven. Never, never, never. Remember what the Scriptures teach. They teach what we call the doctrine of original sin. Where do we find that in the Scriptures? Psalm 51, verse 5, David says, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So the moment I was a fertilized cell, 1 cell, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, as I multiplied, sin was in all of it. I was shapen in iniquity. And in sin, from conception on, the sin nature had been passed on into me. I was a sinner by nature as well as I became a sinner by choice. We read in Romans 5 in verse 12, Wherefore as by one man, that'd be Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, passed through Adam to all. So we read in Romans 3:23, For all have sinned, and come short of the glory of God. Now, to go this route of trusting in works of the law, if I just be good enough, if I just be a good enough person and not do bad stuff, I'll be a little league coach. I'll go visit people in the hospital. I'll be a better father, better husband. I'll do this as a mother, do this as a wife, do this as a neighbor. I'll be so good I can go into heaven. Well, the Bible has an answer to that. As many as are of the works of the law, that is, that's the system you've chosen to satisfy God's standard. I'm going to work the law successfully. All people, as many as are, every single one who are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live not by works, but by faith. Similarly, we read in James 2:10, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend one time, in one point, he's guilty of all." It's a revelation of a sin nature, as well as it's a breaking of the chain of any connection with God. You're guilty of all. So we read in Romans 3:20, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, and saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Well, what then are the purposes of the law? As we've been saying in these last weeks, one purpose is to teach us about God. The Ten Commandments, all the law and all the Bible come from God. They extend from his character. They are not separate from who he is. For example, the ninth commandment, "Thou shalt not bear false witness," is a confirmation. Our God is a God of truth. Our God is a God who does not lie. Everything he says is yea and amen. We can trust him, and he's the same yesterday and today and forever. And so we learn about the wonderful honesty of God as we study the ninth commandment. It teaches us about God. Second purpose of the law, we have said, is to inspire the saved, those who have not trusted in their works, but have trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ, received him as their Savior, been born again, inspires the saved to gratitude. The more we study this law, we realize, I didn't just break this one time, or when I told my mother when I was 8 years old I didn't eat the pie when I did, but that hundreds, thousands, myriads of times we find we have fallen short of this one commandment, not to mention the other nine. And so we're grateful to God. The more and more we realize just how much sin had been judged in Christ in my stead, and I'm grateful for it. And we're inspired not only to be grateful, but to change. The more we learn about how this commandment plays out, the more we purpose to have the Holy Spirit transform us into the likeness of God, which is a desire of God. So it benefits us to learn about God. It benefits the saved, and it benefits the lost. A major reason that we as a church are studying the Ten Commandments is that these are the tools for witnessing to the lost. As we saw just a little bit ago in Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, the goal is for every mouth to be stopped and all the world to be found guilty before God. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Paul says, "I would have not known I was a sinner," said the law told this. I hadn't even thought about that being a sin in my case. So it brings the lost to conviction of sin. Well, how might one give witness using the ninth commandment? I find I have borne false witness, and I just kind of did this as a quick flow of thought. There's so much that one could say. It's a different sermon all in itself. But I find I'm going to start each one of these words with the letter P. You might think ahead in what ways we have borne false witness with adverbs that begin with P. But I have borne false witness premeditatively. There are times when I chose ahead of time that I would lie about this. Why did that bike break? Why did I not show up for practice? Why did I treat my little sister this way? Or whatever it might be. One can meditate on how he can explain it away where he doesn't look so bad, or the punishment isn't as strong, or you get out and away from guilt. So one way that we can bear false witness is premeditatively. We think it through ahead of time. Another way, now this is probably my worst effort at an adverb, poured outedly. That is, sometimes I didn't premeditate on this, but just that quick, a lie could come out of me. Just that quick, I could give it a rationalization, an explanation. Just it flowed up and I go, whoa, that's not a bad idea. That's a pretty good excuse. Where'd that come from? You're lying and saying within the heart. It just can pour out without practice, without planning ahead, indicating the imperfections of our soul. I have borne false witness presumptuously. The Bible says, "Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sin." But I can lie and presume upon the grace of God that he'll forgive me again and again and again. Or I can bear false witness partially. What I say is true, but it doesn't tell the whole story. Or I can do it pompously, that is, to protect my self-esteem, to protect my image in front of others. It hurt so much if I told the whole story to my wife of everything that I did. So allow me to say some and kind of couch it in words which sort of sound, mitigate the impact. I did a little bit and quick and, oh, it's just a weakness of the moment. We can do so much to save face. But, you know, the prodigal son didn't save face. And Job didn't save face. They said, I sinned. And the Bible goes on to say, and in all this, they dealt with it honorably. I have borne false witness profitably. That is, if I don't tell about the injury in this animal or the troubles with this car or the way this basement floods or a thousand other things, if I just don't say everything or explain it with the right words, I can profit from it financially. I have borne false witness protectively. That is to guard myself from harm from others. I have done so passively. That is by just letting things slide and not correcting them. I have borne false witness passionately with great fervor, great emotion, and great insistence that I am innocent of this charge. And I have borne false witness professedly. And this is so important. That's the last one. I think I have an extra asterisk next to that one. You see, you and I are to bear witness of who God is. That's a primary calling any believer has. Watch me, listen to me, see what I do, understand my possessions, understand my practices. All of this is to reflect on this truth, that the Lord is my God. I am being transformed into His image. That's my mission, presenting my whole body holy, acceptable, accept Christ before God. And so when I do not behave as would the Lord in handling truth, that's a bad profession. I have failed. I have borne false witness of our Lord. And I mentioned here an Amish story. I read about this week. A fellow went to an Amish fellow to buy a horse. And the Amish in that community had a reputation of being honest and straightforward and trustworthy. And the Amish fellow assured the gentleman that was buying the horse, it's a good horse. So the guy said, okay, I'll buy it. He took it home. Turns out it was a bad horse. The fellow had misrepresented it to him. And so the buyer of the horse goes back to the Amish fellow the next day. Amish fellow sees him coming and says, you come back to return that horse, haven't you? You want your money back. And the man said, no, I'd like to borrow your hat and your coat so I can go sell that horse. That's painful, isn't it? I don't want people to misrepresent the Lord because they've observed it in me. Thou shalt not bear false witness. But we'll finish with this, the good news. Romans 5:8 tells us that God commendeth or demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Have you been brought to God? Would you let the Spirit use the ninth commandment to bring you to God? Today. May we pray. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Oh, Lord, we are not here to justify ourselves before thee. Take any of these Ten Commandments and we fall short. We fall way short. And we see it as hopeless for us to elude the judgment of those commandments by any good works, by any justification. No, there is no hope if we lean to our own merits as justification to be reconciled to God. No hope at all. Oh, may thy Holy Spirit impress it upon every soul who hears this message that our hope is not in ourselves and in our works, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to thy mercy you have saved us. Save us, Lord, through the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ, our sins laid upon him. If there's any soul that hears this message that has not yet done that, let him, let her be led by the Spirit of God to do it today. Who shall be saved? Call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.